All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Deuteronomy 7b, zero tolerance. You know, today we're taught that diversity, multiculturalism, and tolerance are the things that made America great. And that if we, you know, that we're a really holy person if we believe in these things. But you know what? Diversity, multiculturalism, and tolerance have been the things that are destroying America. And we learned from the previous chapter that in order for God's people to remain a blessed, free, and prosperous people, that they must also be a holy people, a holy nation, a nation that separates itself from evil and lives according to God's laws and lives up to its motto of being one nation under God. Not one nation under many gods, but one nation under God, a Christian nation. And this idea that we can coexist or live together in peace and harmony with other religions is nonsense. It's never worked that way. And it never will work that way. For it's just the way it is in divine law, or the way it is in reality even, is that evil and good cannot coexist together. It simply will not work without one or the other trying to replace the other, trying to defeat the other. So we must get this out of our mentality that that these things have made us great when it's a great lie, is what it is. And that's what this chapter is going to talk about. God warned us against these things. He warned us against this false tolerance that's being preached in America today. This tolerance that says, oh, we must accept any and every other religion except for Christianity. We can't have the Ten Commandments in our schools or in our courthouses anymore. But we must accept other pagan religions and beliefs in their place. Think about that. Think about that. We're being deceived. All in the name of tolerance. Of bowing down unto evil and accepting it. Hey, you know, where do you draw the line? You know, what if we accept any and other religion? Well, some religions might say that other things are okay to do. Such as marrying, you know, more than one wife. A man marrying another man. A man marrying an animal. Or having sexual relations with an animal. And on the list goes, hey, if we don't have one set of laws that come from one religion, one book, this holy Bible, then which book are we to live by? What should our moral code be? You see the problem with that? That's why unity and diversity and multiculturalism and this acceptance of all these religions doesn't work, because a nation, you know, founds or bases its laws off of its culture, off of its religion. You can't have all these multi-religions without blending them together into a new religion. If it's gonna work to any extent. And that's what they're trying to do, my friend. They're trying to milk all these religions down and blend them into a new religion. The new religion of humanism. The religion of the Antichrist. And well, before we get in talking too much here, we should get started into the scriptures here. But let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in this word. Help us understand why your policies make sense and why they should be the laws of the land if we were a wise and understanding people. In Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I believe we picked up, or we left off on verse 9. Verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. No other gods. There's not room for any other religion or and things like that. The faithful God. the just God. Not these gods that require you to sacrifice your children, such as Moloch practice that they did back here, where they'd sacrifice to Baal or to Moloch, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You know what? These false gods don't help people. They put people in bondage, in misery, oppression. And, you know, this new worship today is the worship of the state, where people trust in socialism, which is none other than communism, statism, whatever you want to call it. It's the worship of a government, of a system, rather than Almighty God. And I'll tell you what, that leads to oppression and misery, just like every other false god did in the past. But God's ways don't. God's commandments, his statutes, his judgments lead to freedom, lead to prosperity. They protect our families. They work as a wall to protect our nation if we actually follow them. They're for our own good. But yet, again, we strip them out of our courthouses, out of our children's schools. And what do we expect? What do we expect when we see things happening like they're happening today? It's because we don't listen to God's commandments like we should. We don't follow his laws. We elect strangers who hate our nation to be our president, to be our leader. We're going to talk about that later on in the book of Deuteronomy. Somebody might be saying, whoa, what are you talking about? God commands us to set one of our own over our people as our leader. There should not, we're not supposed to vote for non-Israelite peoples. For those of you who understand, the 10 lost tribes, after they were taken into the Assyrian captivities, they later migrated north through the Caucasus Mountains, were later renamed Caucasians, and they spread throughout Europe, building Christian nations and kingdoms, and then later crossed the Atlantic Ocean to build the greatest Christian nation on earth, America. So I'm referring to Israelites, I'm referring to those people and their descendants that founded this country. The children of Israel. We are not supposed to put leaders over us that are not of us. That's just the way it is. And the book of Deuteronomy, in a later chapter, we'll read about that and discuss that. But here we go. We are on verse 9. I'm going to recap that. The faithful God, which keepeth covenant, he doesn't break his agreements. And mercy, that's important, mercy. God does keep mercy when we ask for forgiveness, when we repent with a humble heart and say, Lord, please forgive me. I'm trying the best I can, but I keep falling short. Please help me. Strengthen me. Then he shows mercy and compassion. With them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Okay, we talked about that. Unending, in other words. To those who love God. But check this out. Here's the opposite. Verse 10. And repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. You know what? That's a very strong statement. I would hate to be somebody who despises God's commandments, who charges God of being unrighteous or of using cruel and unusual punishments. Because that's the same as hating him, despising him. And God is going to repay them to their face. Those nations and those peoples that mock God, belittle him. Hey, they got something coming. And it's not going to be too pleasant. I would not like to be somebody who mocks and belittles God and his word. And I'll say this, you know, when we stand up for his word, we are hated as well. But it's not us who they, it's not us that they hate. They hate what we stand for because they hate God. They do not like his word. And that's, somebody might be thinking, well, that's a pretty strong statement to say that people hate God. Well, what do you call it when we rip the Ten Commandments out of our courthouses and out of our schools? What do you call that? That's called hate. Disliking what God commands us to do. And those who promote that, this warning is for them. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments, which I command thee this day to do them. How many times in this book is God going to have this repeated? Keep the commandments, the judgments, and the statutes, and do them. Institute them into our government, like we used to. Righteous laws, just laws. Now we strip all of our laws out of our books that had to do with sodomy and other things, even adultery. Now we're becoming a lawless nation, a nation that rejects God and his commandments. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. If we do our part, he'll do his part. It's that simple. Verse 13, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. You know, we wonder why we have economic problems today. And it's because we're not being blessed like we were before. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land and thy corn and thy wine and thine oil and the increase of thine kine, and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. In other words, God says, hey, I'm going to make you plenteous in everything. You're going to have plenty of children. You're going to have plenty of animals, plenty of crops. I'm just going to pour the blessings upon you. If you just listen to me and keep my covenant and do things my way. But you know what? We refuse and we end up with a cursed economy like we have today and cursed leaders who hate our country and other leaders who are unfit for office, who lie, steat, and cheat. lie, cheat, and steal. From our people. But you know what? Even in our personal lives, hey, we try everything we can to get our nation to adhere to God's laws. We vote in the right leaders and politicians that will hopefully institute these things. But hey, if they don't, we still can be blessed in our personal life. If we follow God's commandments the best we can. If we listen to him. Verse 14, thou shalt be blessed above all people. Okay, we read that. Now, let me talk about that for a second. Blessed above all people. There are a lot of people out in America today that say, well, even our president says, oh, we shouldn't be allowed to have our thermostat set at 75 year round. That how are other nations going to feel about that if we just drive around in our SUVs? Well, who cares what other nations think? God's policy is, hey, we're supposed to be blessed above all people if we follow his laws. We're not supposed to be equal. We're not supposed to worry about what some other nation thinks of us. No, hey, if they want to have the things we have, if they want to be blessed like we are, then they should take example from us. Look at the God we worship. look at his laws, statutes, and ordinances, and perhaps do them themselves so they can be blessed. That's what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to be a blessing and an example unto the world. The world's supposed to look to us for leadership. For we are God's people, that holy nation, set apart for his purposes. We are a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. But we're not doing our duties. And we're becoming like the heathen. We're becoming like those third world nations. We got a third world dictator named Barack Obama ruling over our nation today. And yes, I say ruling because he doesn't follow the Constitution. He doesn't respect the balance of powers. He's nothing but a third-rate dictator. And we got about half of the people in our nation voting for him. What does that say? That's pretty sad. And the Lord shall take away from thee all sickness. This is if we're following his commandments. All sickness. And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. But will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Whoa, what does God do? Does God send disease upon different peoples? Do you wonder why there's these epidemics in certain nations? Think about it. Part of being a holy nation, a clean and separate people, is obviously it's following God's laws, but God also has health laws set out in his word for us. We're not supposed to eat pigs and scavengers and things like that because those things bring disease into our body. Now, there are people who have done a lot of research on that, and I suppose at some point we'll put links up to it or teach it ourselves and explain why certain things like pig and pork is bad for you. God put laws in his word as far as what foods are good to eat, what are not to eat, and what health practices to follow to maintain our purity as far as cleanliness, as far as a nation, so that we don't have all this disease and sickness. He told us how to grow our crops, that we're supposed to grow them for 6 years and let the land rest the seventh, so that the nutrients could rebuild in the soil, and so that the crops could have the proper nutrients in them that we partake of, so that we could be healthy and blessed. But now we pump all these chemicals into our food, and we have disease and all sorts of cancers and all this sickness that we wouldn't have to have if we followed God's laws. So there we go, verse 16. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. This is part of that zero tolerance policy, is God didn't want these heathens living among the Israelites. Hey, if a foreigner was going to live among the Israelites, they were to be respectful. They were not to bring their gods into the nation. They were to live by God's laws, his ways, and assimilate into the culture. They were not to try to come into America or into the midst of Israel. Into the midst of the Israelites, I should say. Don't want you to get confused with the modern day Israeli nation. They were not to come in the midst of them and try to promote their gods to the people. It just wasn't supposed to be. And in return, the Israelites were supposed to treat the strangers well. We're supposed to love them, be kind to them. Because God reminded them that, hey, you were once strangers in the land of Egypt. And you weren't treated very well there. And God kind of says, hey, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You didn't like what the Egyptians did to you. So if you have a stranger sojourning in your land and that stranger's obeying the laws, then don't give them a hard time. Be loving, be kind to them. Verse 15. I'm sorry, we read that. Verse 16, we started reading that. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. You shall defeat them. You shall utterly destroy them. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them. Neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that shall be a snare unto thee. That what God's talking about is these seven nations that he said the Israelites were to utterly wipe out of the land of Canaan. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. They're to be utterly wiped off the land. Hey, if they didn't flee out of flee from fear and they stayed to fight, they were to be wiped out. That was God's way. You know, because he didn't want those people, again, living in and around the Israelites to contaminate them with their not just their spiritual filth, but also their physical filth of the diseases that they were infested with, for committing acts of bestiality, incest, and all kinds of sexual immorality like homosexuality. And God was trying to make sure the Israelites had a clean, safe environment to live in, one where they could everything could be blessed and prosperous. And what he was trying to do is he was wiping all, God wanted all that evil wiped clean from the land of Canaan so that they could start fresh. It was a time of cleansing. And you know what? This is actually, this is what God was trying to do here. He was trying to set up his kingdom on earth, his earthly kingdom, so to speak, of his people Israel representing them, representing his kingdom. And it was actually a type of what will be in the eternity. And let me see here. I might go a few more verses before I, we'll go a few more before I go over to another place in the book of Revelation to show you what this is a type of. And what the ultimate fulfillment of these things will be. But anyways, God says, you know, you shall not serve their gods. You're not going to tolerate them. You're going to clean your land up, because if you tolerate them, they will be a snare unto thee. They're going to be a cancer in your nation that's going to build, fester, and grow and destroy it. That has been the downfall of our people. Hey, the Israelites never fulfilled this command of wiping all the Canaanites off the land. They gave in a few cases and said, oh, well, we'll just let these live here and there. And then those poisonous, cancerous cells moved in and among the Israelites and polluted them. The Israelites started following their gods, intermarrying with their women. And before you know it, the Israelites were now acting just like them. Just like them. I think I'm going to turn to, if you want to find out why God says you shall consume all these people, let's go to Leviticus chapter 18. Probably we might go to 19. Let's see here. Leviticus 18 through 20 will give you a list of all the things that these wicked people, these seven wicked nations did that inhabited the land, and why God wanted to get rid of them. But I'm going to turn to, let's see here. Yeah, let's go to Leviticus 18, verse 22, verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Now these are the things that the Canaanites and all those other nations did that lived in that land. They sacrificed their kids to Molech. They put them in the fire. They threw them in the fire. And they profaned the name of God by blaspheming him. Verse 22 says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. That's homosexuality, my friends. That was one of the chief sins in the land of Canaan, was sexual immorality. It is an abomination. In other words, when God says that, he says, it's something that's very disgusting and immoral in my eyes. I cannot even stand to look at it or think about it. It's wrong, is what God is saying. Neither, there's not too many things that God calls an abomination. So when we see this movement of in America today where we're trying to let gays and lesbians get married to each other, man and man and woman, that's repeating the very same things that God disliked very much that caused these nations to be in judgment. Those things caused God to bring down judgment upon them, to remove them from the land, as we're going to read here. 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. This bestiality. If you think people don't do this today, better think again. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Defiled means they're contaminated with this filth. And now you understand why God said, hey, wipe them all off of this land. We cannot have them there, because they're going to defile you. They're defiled both spiritually and physically. And the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. In other words, God's saying, hey, the land is so disgusted. The earth itself is so disgusted in the immorality that was taking place there, that the land vomits the people out. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations. You don't do these things. But yet these things are being promoted today. You know, people say, well, we don't sacrifice our kids to Molech anymore. Oh, we don't? What about abortion? The main reason why people abort their kids is so that they think they can have a less responsibility and a better life, because they don't have to deal with little kids. It's not convenient for them. That's the same reason they were sacrificing their kids to Molech, because they thought it would give them a better life. These same things are happening today in our nation. And if this continues to go on like it is right now, the land will vomit us out, meaning God will expel us from our freedom, from our land, and bring us into bondage, into a socialistic one-world government. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. Hey, if you have a stranger that lives among you, if they commit these abominations, get them out of your nation. Or you would follow God's law and take the appropriate actions legally. Verse 27, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. you know, people are so worried, and we should not wreck the earth with pollution and things like that. But people are so worried about pollution from coal plants and nuclear energy and things like that. These same people that carry around these green bags everywhere. Hey, I got nothing against that. If they want to conserve and recycle, that's great. But at the same time, these same people, many of these same people that think they're saving Mother Earth are defiling her by the moral wickedness that they promote, such as gay marriage, abortion, and other things. That the land spew not you out also when you defile it as it spewed out the nations that were before you. That's the warning, my friend. God has a zero tolerance policy towards abominations, towards filthiness. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Do you wonder where AIDS came from, my friends? Think about that. Think about the verses we just read here about God talking about the plagues and diseases of Egypt that he would send upon the people if they committed these things, if they committed bestiality, homosexuality, and incest, and offered their kids the sacrifices to Moloch, in other words, abortion today. Therefore, thou shalt keep mine ordinance, and that ye commit not any of these abominable customs. Multiculturalism, my friends. God says, hey, don't accept that. They will contaminate your nation. Now, am I promoting people go out and be crazy and break down Hindu temples or something? No. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is we promote laws. We promote things. We promote Christian laws, a Christian culture. And that's how we do everything. These abominable customs which were committed before you, that you defile not yourselves therein, I am the Lord your God. Don't defile yourselves is what God is saying. Be a holy and a separate people. Don't be united with this diversity stuff. You know, I was just at one of my kids' schools the other day. I saw on the wall there, all over, basically around every corner, is a big sign that said diversity. And I had a little acronym. I can't remember every single word of what it said, but that's what our children are being taught today. Instead of the Ten Commandments, they're, instead of looking up and seeing the Ten Commandments on the wall, they're looking up and they're seeing diversity as though these are the highest virtues that these children could possess when they are the things that are against God, that God has a zero tolerance policy towards. And so did our nation when we said we're one nation under God. What does that mean? It doesn't mean we're all these, you know, a conglomerate of different peoples who worship many different gods. I mean, the very definition of a nation is one people, one culture, one law. That's what defines a nation and a people. This multiculturalism fragments our nation, weakens it, divides it, and destroys it. Okay, back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. 17. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Hey, they're too powerful than us. Or they're too powerful for us to conquer. My friends, we are coming up. We are living in that generation, I believe, where many of you will fight a spiritual war against that new world order, that beast kingdom of Revelation 13 that has the seven heads and the ten horns. symbolize its mighty strength and power. And he even says in Revelation 13, who shall make war with the beast? No one can except God's people. As we stand and witness against it by telling the truth, that two-edged sword that can go right into the heart of the beast and destroy it for what it is. And expose it for what it is. And many of you have that destiny and that purpose here on this earth today. I firmly believe that. I do. I feel we're moving into these times where you could take this Deuteronomy 7 and put yourself in this place as though we are on a mission to take down the beast. It's greater and mightier than us. But with faith, like Christ said, with the faith is just even as small as of a grain of a mustard seed, we can remove mountains. We can conquer our enemies. Because God is with us. Because a small minority written about in the book of Revelation is going to defeat this entire ungodly system with God's help, with His Spirit. So God says, hey, when you say in your heart, hey, these nations are greater than me, then verse 18, thou shalt not be afraid of them. Don't be scared. Hey, when we move into this generation, after this election here, things could get a lot worse if Barack Obama gets in office again. And I know some of you may say, well, it's going to be worse even if the other guy gets in. Well, that's debatable. But anyways, Barack Obama gets in, wins this election in 2012. Hey, don't get scared. Stand up and fight. But don't get down and depressed and fearful. Hey, we're moving into battle. That's what it means. We're getting closer and closer. As our enemies come, gather forces and gather together against us, God's going to be with us. And he says, hey, don't be afraid of them. Thou shalt remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt. Hey, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. They were persecuted. They were oppressed. Just kind of like how we're being oppressed today. It's in a sense, we're sort of like we're becoming slaves in Egypt again with all this unjust taxation and inflation. But remember what God did unto Pharaoh, the great temptations with which thine eyes saw, and the signs, and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. In other words, God says, hey, look what I did to Egypt. I freed you from there. I can destroy all these other nations for you. God said, I know how to do it. I've done it before. I'm God. So what do we have to worry about? What do we have to worry about? Verse 20, moreover, the Lord, and you know what? In the book of Revelation, we're told that the two witnesses are given power to strike all their enemies with all plagues as often as they need to. And then we read about the seven trumpets and the seven vials and even the seven thunders that are kept secret from us. All those things are things that God is going to send. Great signs and wonders that God is going to send to punish the enemy, to free us once again. But on a grander scale, hey, if you thought Egypt was something, wait until you see what God does in the future. It's going to be marvelous. We're going to be at awe when we see some of these things. I believe we're going to see pieces of a comet hit the earth. Meteors. Volcanoes blowing off in different locations. Great hailstorms. And, we'll get into that another time. But verse 20. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left, they that are left and hide themselves from thee, be destroyed. God was even going to send swarms of bees. You could call them killer bees if you would. Against their enemies. Think about that. God can do some pretty creative things that, hey, you don't need a whole army to defeat some of these guys. All God has to do is send bees to take care of them. Or frogs, or lice, or hail. Amazing. Sometimes when we fear, hey, again, when all of our enemies start gathering together around us, don't get depressed. Keep fighting. Keep being strong. Keep standing up for the truth. But don't let it get you down, because if God could deliver the Israelites back here, he can do it again. If we have faith, if we believe, if we're not afraid. Verse 21, thou shalt not be affrighted at them. Do not fear, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible, fearful, if you are on the other team, comforting and loving and warm, if you're on his team, if you follow his commandments. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations, those seven great nations, those seven wicked nations, before thee little by little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction, until they be destroyed. Utter destruction. He's gonna wipe them off the land if the Israelites do as they're told. If they have faith, if they fear not. You know what God says here? No, it's kind of interesting. He says, I'm just going to consume them out one step at a time, little by little, so that think about this. If there was a bunch of dead carcasses laying everywhere at one time, the animals would have a lot of food. Lions and bears and leopards. They would eat all those dead bodies, and then they would grow in numbers, and then they would be a threat to the Israelites. This lets us know that God has things planned out. He has things planned out to the detail. He's got a plan and a purpose for everything. What's neat about it is all we have to do is follow what he says and let him take care of the grander scheme of things. It's not our concern. It's not our concern. Or to know about the grander plan, of course. But hey, we don't have to plan every detail out. We just have to obey. Verse 24, and he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. Think about that promise there. All their wicked kings, God says, hey, you're going to destroy them. And this, I believe this is looks forward to the future in our spiritual battle against the 10 kings. The 10 horns of the beast of Revelation 13 that we're going to be delivered up to witness against, to stand against. We're going to defeat them. We're going to have the victory. That's why it's recorded in Revelation chapter 15 that there are a group of overcomers standing upon a sea of glass, singing the song of Moses, singing a victory song and celebrating and praising God for having conquered these wicked kings. These were the wicked kings in type, but I'm talking about those wicked kings of the beast. And they shall not stand before us. You know, there's a psalm. I actually have it written in the front of my Bible. I'm going to read it to you. Wrote it down when I was serving in the army. I wrote this down because I sort of liked the way it was worded here. Psalms 149 verses 5 through 9. It says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them be happy. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Today, that's the truth, my friends. Back here, it was literal, but it meant to execute. This, what is this sword for? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Hey, do you despise and hate evil in the world today? Well, if you do, God is actually going to let his servants, in part, execute some of the judgments upon those evil rulers, the rulers of the darkness of this world in Ephesians chapter 6. By telling the truth, by cutting them with that two-edged sword. And that is the honor that we have. That's what it says. This honor have all his saints, all his Christian warriors, those set aside to fight against evil. That's all that the word saint means. And but back here, that pretty much told what God was using the Israelites for. He was using the Israelites as his weapon of judgment upon those wicked nations. Again, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and so forth. God pronounced the death sentence upon them for their wickedness, and he was carrying it out with or by the sword of Israel. Okay, so we got verse 25. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. God is saying, hey, I want you to completely cleanse the land. I want you to get rid of those rulers, get rid of those wicked people, blot out their name, meaning, hey, we're going to just, their names are going to basically be erased practically from, not necessarily from history completely, but erases being a people. Their nations are going to no longer exist. That's what God wanted to do. He wanted to blot them out, so to speak. And we can see a type of that in the eternity where it says that certain people will be blotted out or erased from the Lamb's Book of Life. They won't be there. God says, hey, don't desire their graven images. Don't desire to be like them. Don't desire anything that they have. But today, you know, our youth are taught that, hey, we're supposed to, you know, hip hop with the heathen. As though that's cool. Hey, let's be like them. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination, verse 26, neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. All those false religions and beliefs, all their false teachings, we're supposed to abhor it because it's evil, it's destructive. Why would we like something that would destroy us? Why do we let the cursed things into our nation today? Again, this multiculturalism, diversity, let's just honor this God and that God, and let's worship the God of the state. Let's promote socialism. Those are the cursed things, my friends. You know, the cursed thing there means it's the Hebrew word karam. It means something that is devoted to destruction. Again, the Israelites were supposed to clean, get rid of all this pollution and filth. There's a lot of pollution and filth in America today, my friends. And you wonder why, you know, our nation is so contaminated these days. Because we don't live up to God's zero tolerance policy. Instead, we live by tolerance, acceptance of all gods and all religions. And we let those gods and their religions take over ours, replace ours, shun ours from society. Now where it's, you know, politicians dare even say the name of God anymore or mention the different Bible verses because they're scared that it seems odd. It's going to make people afraid of them or something. Pretty sad, isn't it? But you know what? It's interesting is God says you should not bring any abomination into your house, into your nation. You shouldn't desire it. You shouldn't want it. You should abhor it. You should hate it. Whoops, I said the word there, hate. I must be a hate criminal now because I hate evil. We are supposed to hate evil, my friends. We're not supposed to hate people. But we're supposed to hate those false doctrines and false beliefs that contaminate and destroy our nation. We want them away from us. You know, we're done with this chapter, but I'm going to show you the type of what the Israelites were doing back here, what God was using them for. He was trying to set up a kingdom on earth that was supposed to be a light and an example unto the world. And this is what was, and we read that type in, we read the final fulfillment of what God was attempting to do with the Israelites in Revelation 20. And it was with the new heaven and the new earth that God says, hey, I'm going to wipe away all tears. I'm going to bring down the new and holy city, Jerusalem. Then he says, hey, I make everything new. And then he goes down to chapter 21, verse 7 of Revelation. He says, he that overcometh, he that conquers, shall inherit all things. That means conquers evil, not unite with it, not coexist with it, but defeats it. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's what the Israelites were supposed to be back there in the land of Canaan. They were supposed to overcome all those evil nations, defeat them. And then they would be God's son, his children, so to speak, the children of his kingdom. And they should inherit the land. Verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, all those people that, these are the things that all those people were who inhabited the land of Canaan just prior to the Israelites taking over. And all liars, oh boy, we have a president today that will look us right in the face and lie to us. And have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is, you know, people talk about genocide in the Bible or whatever, and they say, oh, how horrible it is. But hey, God, when he wipes out cities, nations, and peoples, he does so to bring peace and prosperity, to cleanse the land of its wickedness. He says all these people, they're going to disintegrate into that lake of fire and die the second death. They're not going to be able to enter into this city. And then you go on and you read about the New Jerusalem, how it has all these great and high walls with all the names of the children of Israel written on them. And it's such a wonderful place. And then it says in verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Again, that's why God says you're supposed to be a city upon a hill and a light unto the world. You are a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, to give light unto the world. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. So it's finally being lived out, my friends. What a day that's going to be. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Again, this is what the Israelites were supposed to be. That was their nation was supposed to be like this. To be a light unto the world, where the kings of the peoples around the world could come in and show respect to Almighty God. And that the laws would go forth from Jerusalem to the world. But they failed. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise, now check this out, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. those walls, this you picture this city as having those high walls and gates, nothing evil or wicked. No, those people who commit abominations, homosexuality, bestiality, incest, and so forth, will not be allowed to enter into that city. Just as God says, hey, if you kept all my laws today, your nation, you would have these walls of protection around your nation that would keep evil from entering therein too. And you'd be safe, happy, and free. And then you go on and you hear more about this great city. And then he says in verse 20, chapter 22, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs. Think of when the word dogs is used here, it's talking about temple prostitutes. Those male temple prostitutes that allowed themselves to be sodomized like a dog. And sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You see, those are the things that all those nations did that possessed the land of Canaan, the Holy Land. That's why God wanted it clean, because it was supposed to be a type of this eternal city. It was supposed to be a holy nation, a clean nation, one without filthy immorality and depravity, a nation of laws and justice and righteousness. But you know what? Although we're failing now, it's nice to look forward to the future that this will one day finally be realized. We will live in a blessed and free land in the eternity, a place where all nations, all peoples that submit themselves to God will be able to come in and worship and enjoy. That's why the word Jerusalem means the city of peace, the city of, you know, comfort. It certainly isn't that way today. It hasn't been that way really probably ever, except for maybe during some periods during the time of David. Some brief periods there. But hey, you know what? That chapter, chapter 7, is a very controversial chapter. It talked about things such as race mixing. It talked about non-tolerance of evil, of false religions. It talked about how God at one time told the Israelites to wipe out all the inhabitants of an entire country. Today, people look upon that as, that they would consider that a hate crime. And you'd be brought before tribunals and tried and executed. And should be, if man decides to do something like that on his own, to commit genocide. But back here, this wasn't genocide. This was God's righteous judgment being pronounced upon a wicked and depraved people. And that's it, chapter 8. We're going to get into some, I guess every single chapter in this book is just full of a wealth of information and knowledge. But we'll get into it where God talks about the manna that he sent to the people and how he tested them and so forth. But hey, see that you stay in his word, study his word, and do like Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when tempted by the devil. And that is that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. See that you study it. Take it within you. Eat the manna, so to speak. Digest it. Meditate upon it so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.